The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Paddy. Pete's not here. Steve's not here. But Paddy's here. Pad.
Hello, mate. Where are they?
I think Steve is playing cricket, apparently. He's been picked for the Welsh team, so that's nice. Either that or he's filming it. One of the two. I don't know what's happening. Do Wales have a cricket team?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he does video stuff of that. And Pete, he's been working in France. I did say on the Weekend Podcast last week, surely it's illegal to be working that long in France. You know, and I'm seriously thinking of putting a complaint into the embassy. But you've been to France as well. Didn't you hook up with Pete?
I didn't know. Well, I was in Cannes, not wherever he is.
Oh, I say. Before we came on, I said, we talked about this last week. You've been flitting around the world. You've been to New York City. You've been to Cannes. Talking about McEnroe, the film.
And this I was in Cannes for the advertising festival.
Yeah, that's part of the promotion.
It was a massive celebration. No, it was nothing to do with it. It was a massive celebration of capitalism, which is, it's quite something to see.
I've been there. I worked there. I worked there years ago when I was travelling around for years. There's a film TV festival. There's a TV festival. There's a film festival, isn't it? I worked at the TV festival putting up stands. And it was good that you'd turn up and a lot of stands being put up. And if you're any good, you stay on for the first week. I got past the first week. And then if you're any good, you stay on for the second week. I got the second week. They kicked me off then. I thought, oh, fine. That was quite good, actually.
I was wondering this. So the guys who put them up just sit around during the week and then they get to take them down afterwards, do they?
Yeah. But obviously they need a lot of people to start off with and they start cutting back the rubbish, you know. And I thought, yay, I've made it past the first week. I didn't get the second week, really. I was a couple of days in. They said, thanks, we need you next week. I thought, oh, brilliant.
The advertising festival, the marketing festival, is basically thousands of people. I don't want to talk it down too much, because there is interesting stuff there. But a lot of it is sort of Emperor's New Clothes. Like they are trying to explain their genius, and sometimes their genius is just putting an advert on TV.
Yeah,
and that sometimes it doesn't strike me as particularly genius.
When you mean an advert on TV, do they mean like a normal advert, or do they mean an interactive, like, you know, now we got sort of in-game ads where they're quite interactive and they're part of the game, you know, because now there's a company on AIM called Myriad, and they can actually change the advert. I don't know how they do that. Maybe it's just on streaming services or not, but they can change the advert to the demographic. You know, so
they did this on radio as well. There's one called 1 Million Ads where it will say your name in adverts aimed at you.
That's good, isn't it?
And it will change the script of the radio advert to actually bring in your hometown and the car you drive and the name of your pet and all the other crazy things that they have in the database about you. It will make an advert on the fly.
That gets a bit creepy then, doesn't it? You know,
yeah.
What the heck? It's like I always remember that gag about, you know, on the national news where they say, national news, and now it's time for news where you are. And you think, how do you know where I live? And then they go, it's obvious, it's regional, but then it gets more specific. They start talking about your name, your cat, and your dog, all that stuff. You think, oh, hang on a sec, where's the camera in the TV screen looking at me? But yeah, it gets a bit scary. But hey, listen, you don't want to talk about McEnroe film, it's going to be big, isn't it? It's a good, you did a good review. Is it, let me just ask you one thing, you worked on this, you went around the world. Do you think it's good?
Yeah, no, it's great. Yeah, it's brilliant.
I saw the trailer. Looks very good. Now, to be honest, the subject matter is, you couldn't get better than that in tennis, could you? Because there are plenty of characters in tennis, but no one was a character like him who was as good as him. Like right now, who's that brat at the moment from Australia? What's his name? It creates a fuss all the time. And he slagged off the ball girl and all this. He said, no one's come to see you. You're a fan. And I think you're just rude. I wouldn't mind if it had talent to back it up. What's his name? Kyrgios.
Nick Kyrgios, yeah.
I wouldn't mind if he had talent to back it up. But he doesn't. McEnroe did. Genuinely, he was a disruptor, wasn't he, of tennis. And so the subject matter is phenomenal. So hopefully, I watched the trailer. It looks very good. But I wouldn't mind seeing that. But It's a genuine. Obviously, you can't be objective about it because you worked on it. You've got to say it's good. But if it wasn't you, would you say it's good? Yes, I would.
I think it's pretty good. Yeah.
Okay. That's good. Is McEnroe? Is he? What's he like as a guy?
Yeah, he's a lovely bloke. He's very calm.
Is he genuinely? Yeah. He probably is calm down now, isn't he? But Was it? Is it because he's older, or is it just because he's already mad on the court?
Well, watch the film.
Yeah, okay, all right.
It will explain all.
Oh yeah, because in the trailer he said he's been through the psychologist and psychiatrist and all that in the trailer. So yeah, I suppose he's had some help, has he, to calm his temper. Which was quite nice, Pat. You said before we came on, you haven't looked at your portfolio for 2 weeks.
No, I genuinely have no idea what's happening in there.
That's good.
I would assume it's not good.
No, it's dreadful. It's one of the worst times to be in the market. 5 years. In fact, it's one of the worst times if you're holding. And in fact, I want to get to this because we in our chat WhatsApp chat group, right? We got you, Pete, Steve, and Rich. And I'm sure Rich has muted us, but I thought he's probably just removed the app or something like that. But I did copy him in today, and I said to him, and this is the thing, right? This is the thing with investing. Generally, friends and family members, all those people will ask you about investing at the top of the market. Why is that? Because people are generally saying, I'm doing very well in stocks and shares. It gets around. It's like crypto, you know? Everyone's getting crypto at the top. Why? Because everyone's shouting about it. It's gone up like from nothing to like $60,000. People are shouting at the top of the market. That's where the noise is created. That's where you shouldn't get in, you know, at all. Right now, when investors generally are not doing very well, they don't want to shout about the stocks. In fact, it's the last thing they want to talk about at a family meeting, especially crypto, you know, or their friends. They don't talk about it. They don't talk about it. That is the best time to talk about it. And I said to Rich today, Rich, bear markets happen once every 4 or 5 years, okay? And that means they've sold off by more than 20%. I mean, most of them are down by over 30%, the indices. So individual stocks are down more than that, generally. So that is the best. If you want to get a return on your money, better than putting it, say, in a bank or a house. Right now, and I always say this, whenever anyone asks you, even at the top of the market, if friends and family ask you, always suggest a fund, a good fund, and say, pay in monthly amounts, not a silly amount. It's like a savings account, basically. Pay in automatically, automated, a regular amount. And even then, even if you're by the top of the market, if you're paying in small amounts every month, over 2-3 years, you'll do well. You know, you do very well. But now, you couldn't wish for a better time to start scaling in. It's like you will, I mean, the last 10 years, for example, Vanguard, which is the one I've dipped into before, Vanguard 100% equity fund. It holds about 5,000 stocks around the world. About 40% of the fund is the biggest stocks in America, which is like, you know, the best businesses in the world, Apple, Microsoft, all that. Over here, it's like AstraZeneca, you know, Royal Dutch Shell. So you're scaling into 5,000 businesses like that over the next 3 years, and you're starting when they're at their historic lows. It doesn't get any better than that.
I guess the fear always is, isn't it, that this is, although you know that things are going to bounce back, when you're putting money in at this point, you're thinking to yourself, oh, yeah, but is this dip a different one? Is this one going to go on for 20 years? Is it going to continue to go down?
Yeah, well, all you can say is this, right? This is that. First of all, you're not putting a large amount in initially. That's where you're going to get unstuck. Trying to guess the bottom is impossible. The best thing you can do is average in. You know, dollar cost average in, as they call it in the States. Dollar cost average, man. And so if you put in, you know, I don't know, I've not really worked out, but for example, if you're going to put like, even like a sort of 100 quid a month into a bank account, pointless. You might as well put that into a fund. And this fund, for example, has done 200% over the last 10 years, right? So if you put a grand in, for example, you get $3,000 by now. And that's tops, you know, and if you average in, you get the best dips, you buy all the dips. And so it's just mathematically, if you work it out, actually did in a spreadsheet, you'd work out how well you do. And it's because you're not putting a stack load in, you know, to start off with. There's nothing to worry about. Why would you worry about £100 you're investing in the best businesses in the world, you know? So that is the best way. Vanguard Life Strategy, and I talked about this before, is that Vanguard, a low-cost fund set up by Jack Bogle. In fact, very inspirational character. He died about 2-3 years ago, I think. But he used to work in Wall Street, and he realised that fund managers were just charging people, you know, and not really performing. And he said, I can automate this, just do index funds that hold certain amounts in each, you know, S&P 500, and I'll beat fund managers. And they said, no, you won't. So he beat them. And they said, yeah, but you can't do it long term because we're expert stock pickers. And he said, okay, let's do it. And he kept beating them. And they said, right, listen, don't go selling that product, okay? Because it'll basically put us out of work, out of commission. So he was generally hated on Wall Street. But now Vanguard is the biggest mutual fund in the world, $7 trillion under assets under management. And so it's an excellent place, Vanguard, to start. There's loads of other funds and all that stuff. But Vanguard, I like that. And genuine, and Rich now, I've said this to Richard before, and it wasn't even the bear market before. I had a big dip. And I said, good time to start averaging in. And ignored it. But now it is. And so you never hear people shouting about the market when it's down. That is the best time. It's all about, you know, sentiment. People get scared and feared. And if you say that, Pat, you're worried it'll go on forever. First of all, it's averaging in. Second of all, if you look at the average bear market, right, going back to 1932, and I said this on the webinar on the share pickers webinar, I said 1932, years like 1932 and the Great Financial Crash were really worrisome times, because the Great Depression in the 30s, literally investment bankers, well-known ones, were throwing themselves out of windows and killing themselves.
There were people, yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, there were people destitute on the streets. And this is when the industry was different then. There's a lot of heavy capital industry. It wasn't very flexible. These days, there are certain industries still doing very well in inflation times. You know, so there's a lot more flexibility in the workforce, a lot more liquidity. So it's never going to be that bad, ever. All the Great Financial Crash, where that was only... Have you watched Inside Job? Have you ever watched that?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I have never seen it. I think I may have seen it, but I can't remember any of it. I'm watching it again. And you realise how serious the Great Financial Crash was, when the very, you know, institution you rely on to give you money, you know, the cogs and the wheels, the engine, the oil of the system, was drying up. And that was a huge crash. Now, if you average all the bear markets from 1932 up to today, even ones for recession, the average length of recession, even with all those bad ones, is 14 months. We're not as bad as that. We've got inflation, yeah. It'll be sticky. It'll hang around. But we've still got good employment figures. You know, the economy's not grinding to a halt. So it's not going to be that bad. You may have, a slowing of employment because of people tightening their belts. But it's not that bad. I think at the moment, markets react so quickly these days to anything, because you put something out there, it's on social media, it goes around the world in a second, you know, if it's really true or scary. And so I think markets overreact. You've got these quant funds as well that just sell everything if it's sell signals, so that exacerbates the whole problem. So I just think it's not going to be that bad. I mean, I think we'll be out of it before, AIM has been 10 months now, it's been in a bear market pretty much, so AIM is not far off. And I think we've had the worst of the falls. I'm not saying it won't go a little bit lower, but AIM has done 36%. The average is 40. You know, we are nearly there on averages.
So what are your recession tips then?
My recession tips are right now, every day, right? Literally, Megan's checking her ISA. And next time, once we have the rally, I keep saying this on the webinar. I said, listen, can you beat the bear? That's all it's about. Every now and again, you have a bear market. They last about 14 months. Bull markets last for 40 months. All right, so every now and again, you have a bear markets happen once every 4 to 5 years. Can you beat the bear? It's a good thing.
I feel like I've had one consistently since I started investing.
No, I know, but it's been. Come on, I've never known volatility like this in the markets ever. You've joined at a time when we've had come out of the Great Financial Crash, gone into a pandemic, and then come out, and now we've got high inflation because of the money stimulus. What do you think about it? The central banks really overstimulated for a long time, and people were saying the economies are back to normal pretty much, you know, way after the Great Financial Crash. But they kept stimulating and buying bonds and all that stuff. You didn't need it. You know, there's low interest rates. When you have that, when you have money that's free pretty much, and, you know, the central banks are buying bonds, keeping interest rates down, and all this, there's nowhere else to put your money. So we've had a distortion, like almost steroids injection into the markets. Now it's like the big parties is over. We have to have a big bit of hangover for a while. And it may take a while, maybe volatile for a while. But my tip is, do not sell at the bottom at all. Every day, Megan's texting me. It's down again. ISA, every day. Just it's down again. I want to sell my stocks. I said, right, you are choosing to sell your stocks at the worst possible time. Why sell to the bear when you can sell to the bull? You know? I mean, because the bear market will off you, try and rip you. The bear market tries to rip you off based on emotional sentiment only, essentially. Their business is doing well. They're valued now at cheap levels. And it'll try to con you in any way. And I said, Megan, it's all about, you know, as you look at the stock market, what you're looking at is the value of stocks. You haven't lost any money. He said, so two things that you can do, I said, Megan, two things. All you can do. First of all, to stop your moaning at me. This will help you. I said, two things. First of all, you sell, okay? If you sell, you will create, it'll crystallize a loss straight away. You can do that, but it'll stop you whinging, but you may whinge about the loss you've made. Secondly, you can stop looking at your portfolio like you're doing, because there's no point, because if you don't need the money now, If you're not desperate for the money now, why do you want to sell at the worst price ever? Why do you want to sell it in a bear market when a bull market is a better time to sell?
Well, I could really do with the money now, I've got to be honest.
Okay, well, sell then. but now
would be a really good time to be able to take some profits and take a bit of cash out of my my huge portfolio gains, to be honest.
Okay, this is advice to you then, okay? And I said this in an email to my members, and I said, listen, it's emotional painful at the moment, looking at your stocks every day, taking the battering, I know that. But you are selling at the bottom here. When you're feeling the most pain, that's the worst time to sell. Bear markets have massive rallies. And like you go back to the Great Financial Crash, you had rallies of 40% on the indices. So they nearly went back to, you know, pre-crash levels, and they fell back off. So that will happen. Because why that happens is there's technical reasons for it, because you have people, you know, shorting stocks, basically, betting them going down. And if they've gone down a lot, they'll basically cancel shorts, the downward pressure comes off, and then all of a sudden they'll rally, then people come into the markets, you've a flip in the dynamic there from selling and people shorting it to then money inflow. And so they rally very quickly. Then you have people thinking, that's the bottom. That is the bottom. Get in. Because we all know the best time to invest is just after a bear market. You get amazing gains. So people get in. So you have these rallies that last for like, you know, months. The Great Financial Crash, it lasts for a month, the rally did, 40%. People thought, that's it, it's going up. If you want to sell, okay, ignore the sentiment. If you start rallying quickly, and when your stocks does, you know, double digits, treble digits in 3-4 weeks, that's the time to sell. Sell into a buying market, an up market. Don't sell into a down market. And then you get a better price, essentially. I did liken it to, like, I said, Meg, if someone come along here now, and you realise the housing market's going to take a leg down, and you've got a house worth $500,000, and a guy comes along and says, I'll give you $400,000 for your house. And you say, get lost, you fool, it's worth more than that. And then someone knocked, a couple of hours later, a different guy said, listen, the housing market's going down, I'll give you $350,000 for your house. You say, get lost. If you kept having that non-stop, because that's what you do when you look at quotes on the screen of your shares. You're looking at the sell price right now. If you don't need to sell it, don't look at the sell price. You're not going to sell now, you'll sell later. If someone keeps doing that, different people come to your house and almost saying, your house is worth this, your house is worth... Would you start to believe, or would you say, sod it, I'm not going to sell right now, I'm going to sell in a couple of years' time when I know it's worth what the market will pay for it. And so I'm trying to convince Megan, all kinds of analogies, do not sell now. It's the worst ever time to sell. If you convince the company you're investing in is going bankrupt, maybe sell. Maybe get what you can out of it. If you invest in good, improving companies, you know, that have cash, don't worry. But we will have, in the intermediary term, you'll have the short term, you'll have these bear market rallies, very aggressive. That's the time to offload, if you want to offload bad.
Okay, cool.
I don't know when they're going to happen, you know.
Yeah.
And in fact, you know what, it's quite, go on.
I remember when it used to be fun, that's all.
Yeah, I know. But that's it, the life is like that, isn't it? Really?
What, in general?
Well, you know, you can't, it's peaks and troughs, and you can't have fun all the time. If you have fun all the time, you're probably on drugs. And then you have to come off that sooner or later. And then you'll have either go to rehab. That's a bear market in the real world, isn't it? You can't have fun all the time. Why not?
I want fun all the time.
Look at the working week, right? If you don't like your job, a lot of people don't like their jobs. 5 days a week, maybe, they have to do the job they hate. And then the weekend they party. Just, you know, it's a ratio of 5 to 2. It's a bit like the stock market, really. 5 to 2, that's what it's like, you know. You have a bear market, that's the weekday work. And then, in fact, flip it round time-wise. And then the weekend you enjoy. But that's life, isn't it, really, you know?
So in the top 10 biggest winners today, only 6 of them are actually up. Yeah. So that says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. The thing is, the market is pricing in some kind of slowdown in the economy and interest rates. The market goes ahead. It's about 100 days ahead of the actual. When the actual, I got a stat today, it's amazing. There's an 82% chance of positive 2 years after the start of a recession when it's announced. So when the recession has started, the market rallies for 2 years. 82% chance of gain. So the market's way ahead. So we are pricing in already a recession. We've fallen by 36%. The big painful fall has happened. Right now, selling now, too late. You're either going to wait it through, You know, if you're in hell, keep going, like Churchill said. Or you should have got earlier. And when you think of it, it was quite obvious earlier.
I know, I did say this to you, and you said, no, say, don't sell.
Oh, well, I didn't know you wanted the money straight away.
I said, we should probably, when we hit that all-time high, like, you know, a nice peak, whatever it was, about, you know, 10 months ago. We said, yeah, now it's time to sell everything. Just sell everything and sit back and wait for the chaos.
Yeah, yeah.
And you went, no, don't do that.
Well, I'll listen to you next time.
Next time I hit an all-time high, I'm going to sell everything.
Yeah. Well, do that. That's good, that. All-time high. Yeah.
That would have served me very well over the last 3 or 4 years I've been investing.
Do you know what tells me that the small caps and micro caps are near the bottom? Do you know why I know that? There's a very there's a famous chart on stock market sentiment, right? It's about, let me just find it quickly, but it's about you know, the sentiment and all this stuff. Where is it? Webinar. That's it. I did this. Okay, so it literally goes in a sort of, you know, you imagine an S shape, but turned on the side, so it starts at the bottom there, or midway up with optimism, right? Then excitement. We're getting towards the top here. Thrill. People say, wow, I love this investment. That's when people are talking to their friends. I'm making loads in the stock market. And they get to euphoria. That is the point of maximum financial risk, when everyone's saying, whoa, I've made loads in the stock market. And people say, how do you start? You know, they're boasting down the pub to their friends, where they go, and that's the top of the market. And you realise this happened. And that point, towards the top of the market, people are investing in riskier and riskier assets, even if you can call them assets. And you realise, you know, this happened with crypto and NFTs, when those monkey pictures were selling for, like, I don't know what prices they went for, but they were ridiculous.
Oh, like $100,000 or something.
Yeah.
And you think, crazy.
I don't understand that. But that is, that any bull market top is signified by a ridiculous inflation or, you know, appreciation in stupid assets like that. And I did say on the live sort of webinar we did, on weekend webinar in November, I said, it's ridiculous. You've got hamsters in cages doing buys and sells, and they're making more money than the S&P. That is the top of the market. When things are stupid like that, and people are investing in the riskiest assets possible, that is a top. And then you get a bit of anxiety, you should sell off there, and denial and fear is coming down, desperation halfway down, then you get panic a bit further down. Now, capitulation, that's when people say it was not for me. That's where we are at the moment. And it sort of curves around then, plateaus a bit to despondency and depression. In fact, I did put this chart up on the chat group, and someone said, oh, I'm looking forward to despondency and depression. Because that is the bottom, though. But that's something to look forward to. But what I realise is that I've seen a lot of people asking, and they are small cap, micro cap investors, asking about dividend stocks, you know, safe dividend stocks. And you realise that is probably the bottom for this capitulation, because they've got out of micro caps and riskier assets, and now they're going to safer stocks. And that says to me, we are at the bottom of almost the micro cap. Now, if you're going into dividend stocks from micro cap stocks, you're not going to hold the dividend stock long enough to benefit. You need to hold dividend stocks long enough in it to reinvest. Years. And if you had appetite for, you know, wanting to generate lots of money, you go into micro caps. But they're volatile. So it's not like jumping out, then jumping back in. What will happen is micro caps will rally first. Those people who went into dividend stocks took a loss on their micro caps. They get dividend stocks, realize they won't rally very hard, because they give you safe, steady sort of, you know, 10% return. If you want something more than 20, 30, 40%, you've got to go to microcaps. They're risky and volatile. So I realise now we've had capitulation on the microcap space. It may do a leg lower, not a lot, not as much as we've had, but I think we're close to a bottom on the microcaps, because people are doing safer investments, and that means we're at the bottom, you know, it really does. Because but those people will soon, and it doesn't take a lot of liquidity either to move microcaps, and so those people will soon as a, you know, big rally, they'll jump back into microcaps, or maybe a bit late, and then as we go up the market again, we'll go towards bullish territory, and then you get a bull top, then you'll see another ridiculous asset class getting hyped to hell, like NFTs and all that nonsense. Let's be honest, we look back on that and say, that was insane. And it was insane at the time, but we just couldn't believe people making money, or people doing 1,000% on these coins. That isn't normal returns. You can't do 1,000%. Stupid. And you realise that's the froth of the market, you know, absolute froth.
So I've not looked at my portfolio for several weeks now. Give me the headlines. What's happening in there?
Oh, it's horrific, you know.
did I read that you say that someone sold a load of
Hunt. So what happens is, I've no confirmation of this. This is complete conjecture, but I feel I know who it is. Is a high net worth, and he's a bit of a high risk taker. You know, he goes big. He's got chunky pockets, but literally, he goes in big on stocks and then just pulls out. And I think he's realised, again, we are towards the bottom of the market and the panic seems to set in, capitulation panic set in towards the bottom of the market. And literally just dumped, I think, people can check. I know this because other stocks that guy I know owns also tanked on the same day. And so, for example, Benz Creek, it's a coal miner in the US, that tanked on the same day by 30%.
So he just sold everything?
Yeah, I think he just... I don't know why he sold... Whether he's just scared of the market or whether he's on leverage somewhere else and he has to pull money, and that's what happens in the market. If people start losing somewhere, if you're on leverage and they have to make margin calls, they borrowed basically from the broker to, and they got, for example, if you can buy stocks with brokers and you could have like a 30-day T30, whatever, you have to, pony up. But you're hoping in that 30 days the stock will go up and you'll get margin calls because you're in profit. If it goes down, they'll want some margin off you, to say you've got to pay some money here because down. Now, if that happens, of course, that sets in a sort of domino effect where you have to sort of get cash from elsewhere. Now, if you are a big risk taker and you've gone big on something, I'm not saying this has happened here, but if it does happen and you've got to pull the money quickly from somewhere else, and in fact, you've got to shut it down very quickly, then it affects the rest of the market. And that's what happens, you see, in these kind of times around the world. You get people with distressed sellers and that'll move the price down, other people then will sell because the price has gone down, and that's it. Now, we're better off just calming down for a few months and let the market, find the bottom there. But, so that's happened. But the update for XP Factory was excellent. You can do... But now, we are literally on 1x revenue for this year. They're going to be profitable. They've got cash. They're going to be, one of the fastest-growing leisure companies in the business. I just think it's ridiculous. It's emotionally painful, but you've got to look longer term on this. In 2-3 years' time, this company's going to be a triple market cap company, and now we're valued at 25 million. And in fact, what is it? Everything's taking a beating. This is it. If you got money now, it's like some of these stocks are ridiculous value. If I had a chunk of change now, I'd be laughing.
I know, but this is always the thing, isn't it? Like, it's always lovely to say, right, if I had a chunk of change. Like, no, I haven't got a chunk of change. I've got nothing. It's all in the stock market that's gone down.
Yeah, yeah. So look at this.
I'm sure there's lots of people listening who are in exactly the same boat. And, the hindsight is obviously wonderful. And had our time again, maybe we would have sold a bit when it was a nice peak, knowing that this might be coming.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That doesn't help the situation right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not even like the COVID one where there might be some like opportunities to, to get some money back with some stocks that are going to rally really quickly.
Yeah.
Just looking at the
Nothing's working.
They're random, aren't they?
Nothing's working. Even the rampers on Twitter, right, that ramp crap stocks, and literally, technically, maybe, oversold and they see something's going to happen and they just ramp the news. It's not even working for them, It's not even, they're not even getting their 10-20% ramping. It's nothing. It's literally at the moment. Unless a company puts out news that's, that'll blow your head off in amazement, unless it exceeds expectations, their news, if it's in line, it'll get hammered. It's literally like, in a war zone, you pop your head above the trenches there, you get shot off. So part of me says, listen, all the CEOs of companies I own, do not put any news out. Don't put any news out. It's because that creates a liquidity event where there's a bit of liquid in the stock, people buy and sell, and then someone dumps, and that's what happens at the moment. Anything that rises the head above the parapet, takes a shellacking. And so that's the way it is. But we will find a low. Sometimes you've got the market do what it's going to do. I think we've been oversold now very quickly. This sell-off has happened very quickly. I'll give you an example, right? The S&P 500 is the biggest indices in the world, right? It's got all the biggest stocks. There's 500 of the biggest stocks from Apple, Microsoft, all those big, behemoths. And that's had the worst first 116 days of the year since 1932. What? That was the Great Depression. Why are we so worried? What's going on here? And all I can put it down to is that the news travels so fast here. Quants, computer traders happen so fast. Literally, everything just sells. It goes nuts. And then it's a pendulum effect. You get really oversold, and then all of a sudden, the selling dries up. Bit of good news comes out, or good news, but you think, oh, that isn't too bad, actually. Or inflation, like, it's not going up as fast as it was. And all of a sudden, the money just piles in and it goes back up. So the rallies you have off the bottom generally are very aggressive. So that's what you want to wait for. And then that can be 10-20%. But Megan's coming in with a refreshment.
Oh, Megan.
It's Paddy. She's doing Megan. Twist around. It's not a video, Meg. I don't know why you're dancing.
Yeah.
She's dancing, doing twists.
Pad, did you enjoy that?
Hello, Lee. Thank you, dear. That's very nice. Hello, little dog. Yeah, so, Go on, Lou. See, Mummy. Oh, Lola's coming. Lola's scratching the floor earlier, just like nuts. What are you doing, Lou? And she was beating up a fly on the floor. She was winning. But she's going nuts anyway. This is my... At the moment, I know, right, one of the best times to make money is the bottom of a bull market. I keep saying to people, be patient. You'll know when the market changes direction. It'll happen, and because you often get a sell-off day, and it's been like when I look back at the charts on the Great Financial Crash, the 2001.com crash. What you get is sell-off. Then you get calmed down in the sell-offs. It'll go sideways for a while, and then all of a sudden, maybe three or four sessions, and then all of a sudden you get a bigger volume up day. What the hell has happened there? And that is almost it's close to the bottom. You may have to retest that. That's a good sign. Now, what I'm doing is this. So the markets, sell-offs have been brutal. Very few investors or traders have escaped and not been affected by it. But you've got to try and find some cash somewhere handy for the companies you have the highest commitment on, the highest conviction on. And just be patient. Now, if one of your companies rallying like crazy, but it isn't that company that you have high conviction level on, take some off. But that's on a big rally, not at the bottom, not on sell-off days. Big rallies will happen. And then you'll realise this is one of the best times to make money. Put some cash aside and wait for the market to turn and some good updates on a good company and then start scaling into a very good company that you hold. I mean, that's the way you do it. Honestly, coming up will be one of the best opportunities to make money in the market ever. It always happens out of bear markets. The biggest rallies and gains happen out of bear markets. So, but don't go selling at the bottom. Honestly, there'll be plenty of opportunities on bear market rallies. Yes, well, that's good. Anyway,
and lovely.
Yeah.
That note.
Yeah. One other thing I was going to say. Are you sorry? I was going to recommend Inside Job. I don't know if you've seen it. But it's funny because ironic because Matt Damon narrates it, doesn't he?
Does he? Oh yeah.
Yeah, well, Matt Damon, right, talks about all these bankers, the inside job, and all that stuff, and basically the banks deregulating themselves and having lots of positions in power to take out leverage and earn lots of money and then bet on stuff or recommend these, mortgages, wasn't it? The subprime mortgages they packaged together. They paid. It's like you've realised everyone's in on it. They paid the ratings agencies to rate these collateral mortgages they packaged together as AAA. So basically that means pension funds could invest in them. Pension funds can't invest in anything less than, I think, AA+. So the Moody's, Standard & Poor's and all these and Fitch, these rating agencies, were paid to say, OK, what's going on? They're all in it. And then Matt Damon, though, is now, did you see him, that advert doing the crypto? Crypto.com, we're thinking, Matt, what are you doing? I always thought Matt was a nice guy, He does a lot of stuff with water and all that conservation.
I think that's what his adverts are for, isn't it? He puts the money into the charity.
Oh, does he? Because he's saying...
Yeah. Fortune. He's done quite a few weird adverts.
That's another top of the market, isn't it? Where you get celebrities endorsing adverts for crypto and these stupid assets. And you've got Matt was saying, fortune favours the brave. And he's talking about, people who'd discovered things, really good explorers from history. And he's talking about crypto.com, fortune favours the brave. So what do you mean? You've got a fat guy sitting at his computer trading Dogecoin. He's not brave. He's just a fat idiot on his computer trading Dogecoin. And so I just thought, that went down in my estimate.
I think George Clooney is the same, isn't he, with the Nescafe or the Pod adverts. Like, the money goes straight into his... into his AIDS charity, is it? I don't know which one it is.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. Okay, yeah. Well, maybe that's the positive side of that, so that's good. But I would recommend watching that. But if you are emotionally, a little bit torn apart at the moment, probably don't, because it's about the Great Financial Crash. And this is not the Great Financial Crash, but it's a bit bearish,
It's close. Close.
It's not close. It's fine. In a year's time, it'll be like, I wish I had more money to invest in that time. That's what it'll be like, It happens every time. I wish I'd mortgaged the house now. And but Timmy,
when's Pete back? I miss his humour. This podcast used to be funny.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Pad. It's not about being funny. It's not a comedy podcast.
How long is he back?
It's an investing podcast. What?
This is his company, and they take everyone to France for a month, isn't it? Is that the one?
Yeah, it's called. I said, well, that was quite a good joke, wasn't it? Remote working. He's working remotely. By that, I mean the work is very remote. Yeah, he keeps posting these pictures of like the valleys of France. Now he's holidaying in a place that's normally a ski resort, but it's summer, of course, so people go there for mountain biking and all that stuff. And he's
into that, man, it sounds bliss.
Yeah. So he's working in a lovely area there. Nice, but he said, when's this bear market ending? And I said, when you come back on the podcast. So he's back in July.
It is July.
Yeah, it is July. Yeah. So if people want to see the McEnroe tennis film, how do they do it? When can they see it then?
Oh, I'll have a look on the internet or something. I don't know.
Pat, don't be cool and laid back. People may want to know. Maybe people out there are really big fans of tennis and McEnroe, you know?
Yeah.
Isn't it 15th of July in cinemas?
It's on the 15th of July.
Okay, good. It's check out the trailer. It's very good. Just search it up. It looks very good, actually. But like I said, the subject matter couldn't be better. I mean, let's be honest. He was the great disruptor of boring staid tennis, wasn't he? Bjorn Borg. They couldn't get two opposite characters. Bjorn Borg, very professional, nice guy, very calm. And then you got this guy. You cannot be serious! Like, you imagine Borg being there. There's, who the hell is this brash American? And he's good. That's the thing. He's very good. But good. All right. Marvellous. Cheers, Pad.
Cheers, Justin.
When are you back next on the podcast, then?
I'll be around next weekend, I would have thought.
Okay, that's nice. Maybe Pete will make an entrance, and Steve, you know.
Maybe. Nice.
I was going to do this podcast this week. If you didn't turn up on my own, I was going to say the boy's not
just talking. Just rant for half an hour.
Yeah, and I was going to say the boy's not talking to me because their portfolios are down so much. And I've lost my friends.
It's funny though, isn't it? Like, I don't know what your download stats are like, but it does feel less interesting right now. Feels like there's less you can do.
Absolutely. Do you know what? That's exactly what happens. People switch off, which is quite good to a certain extent, but you notice that even on Twitter, when a bull market is happening, you get a lot more interaction. When a bear market is happening, you've got the hardy carry still staying there. Some people, you know, either people have just stopped investing or they've switched off. If they've switched off, that's very good. Ignore, you know, the short-term noise. Think in years, not months. You'll be fine. Yeah, so yeah, no, there is a lot less interaction and reaction, which is, it's like anything, isn't it? I suppose it's hard to be enthusiastic about a football team that keeps losing all the time.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Tell me about it. Yeah. Exactly.
Marvellous. Bye.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.